Rebel Inc. Not sure if you heard of them. I first heard about them from the Jack Blood show. Very cool. Punk rock band. Stickham is...
Don't worry about the Stickham. I'm recording on my side, so I'm getting the audio and my video. So regardless of what happens on the Stickham end, we'll have a full, complete recording. And you shouldn't let technical difficulties kind of get in the way of trying to do a decent radio broadcast kind of thing. Just roll with it.
All right, cool.
And here's the backup system.
Awesome. All right. So here we go.
Your music kind of cut out there.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, fellow conspiracy, truth seekers, terrorists, to the mainstream media, of course, as they paint us falsely and accuse us of such, independent thinkers, and all those who are either going through the awakening or just now starting to realize the disillusioned bubble you're so conditioned to. That may all you have to step out of the bubble. All you have to do is step out of the bubble of the Matrix, take the red pill, follow us down the rabbit hole. You're listening live to Silver Lining Behind the Cloud. I'm your host, Sheen. And we're broadcasting on Ustream and Stickam currently. Well, actually, Stickam, I had to close out because we're having some technical difficulties. Anyways, unfortunately, my usual affiliate wasn't available to make it. That would be my good friend Rebel, who was on Skype last time. But instead, never fear, because we have someone who is well known in the alternative media airwaves, hosted on AmericaFreedomRadio.com, syndicated in all across the world in New Zealand. He's very popular in New Zealand. He has his own radio show, different radio stations, and he's beaten the mainstream popularity over there, I believe. He's the man who puts comedy into tyranny, laughs in the face of danger, brings optimistic yet views into our lives. Yeah, we wonder why he hasn't lost his mind already. He's out to expose scumbaggery of the criminal bank supporting governments, corrupt system, who do not have our the people's best interest at heart, living under the same fluoridated GMO chemtrail poison skies and food we consume day by day, brought to you by Monsanto, of course, and Fukushima irradiated conditions we each have to suffer with. He's the man who brings you the lighter side of genocide. You may know him as Mr. News on YouTube, and we know him as Vinny from the Vinny Eastwood Show. Welcome, Vinny. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, it's nice to be here, bro. Kind of, this will be... How many hours are we doing here today?
Just an hour. I'm kind of just getting started because this is my fourth broadcast.
Okay, so this will be my fourth hour of broadcasting today, and I have two more hours, about an hour or two after this as well. So,
oh, wow. Busy guy, huh?
Well, you try to be everything to everyone because so many people have got their own story, so many people have important things to say, and every minute of the day you've got an opportunity to, well... expose some scumbaggery, and I like to use that opportunity. My listeners gave me this microphone, these headphones, and this computer that we're using, and their subscriptions at $5 a month to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com pay for the internet bills and the rent and all of that sort of stuff. So I can't thank my listeners enough for their support, because without them I would not exist. And it's now dawning on me that a lot of fellow radio show hosts are listening to me, and I'm only 27, have my own show for little over 2 years, but 3 years previous to that been in the street with a camera. So I find myself in a position where I'm needed a lot. And my perspective is, even though it might be hard for me to maintain attention for this many hours, hey, you got to do something every minute of the day, don't you? Apart from relaxing, a lot of people just don't want to relax for some reason. They think that just because they're getting exterminated, they can't have a good time. And I don't know if anybody's ever heard of the movie Life is Beautiful, but it's an Italian film, subtitled the whole G. And there's these Jewish people, and they get kidnapped by the Nazis and gets sent to a concentration camp. And the father keeps telling the boy that it's all a game, you know, that they're building a tank that he's going to win, and keeps basically lying to him, but in a really, really funny and heartwarming way, while there's all this death and madness about them. And I kind of feel sort of like that, like we're all trapped in some form of concentration camp. A lot of us don't have a whole lot of concentration left, but and we've got to find some way to make light of the situation, lest its darkness and ramifications overwhelm us also.
Right, and I think that's very important. You know, we need to find ways to, you know, not only get the word out, but also keep ourselves occupied, but also be able to relax and not stress ourselves out so much. You know, there's plenty of things that we can do to explore and keep on the lighter side of things and still be aware of what's going on, you know.
Well, and I've coined this phrase, let's be aware of it, but shed our fear of it.
Sounds familiar. Oh, might have.
Hey, there's nothing new under the sun. Who knows, I may have unwittingly stolen it from somebody else. Did you know that the telescope was invented by 9 dudes on opposite sides of the Earth who never knew each other at the same time, on the same night?
Really? Wow.
Some messed up stuff that goes on up there, man.
I don't doubt it.
Well, you know, and I don't know what my end goal is per se. Some of my midterm goals is to kind of be sort of like a combination between Alex Jones, George Norrie, and Rupert Murdoch. You know what I'm saying? So you get the Alex Jones type of incredibly industrious type nature to it. And then you get the element of George Norrie. When he was doing his daily show and on Coast to Coast, as well as a show in St. Louis, he was doing 8 hours of radio a day.
Wow.
And some people find it hard to do 1 hour a day. I'm averaging 2 hours a day in my first year, averaging about 3 hours a day in my second year up through till today. And I'm gradually getting that up, like doing maybe four. Like, for example, I'm doing six-ish hours radio today alone. So it's kind of like, if you want to be all the way up there where the success is the biggest, you have to adopt certain things, elements of behavior, business practice, work ethic, etc. So look at it like this. The way Alex Jones got famous and made everything, because he's all over Google, all over the social media, he's broadcasting daily, he's always expanding, adding new documentaries, new news broadcasts, new magazines, new this, new that, new that. So it keeps this momentum going. You have to keep creating new things constantly, because if you're doing the same thing today that you were doing 10 years ago, how much frickin' progress have you made?
Exactly. you're just, you know, on a wheel, a mouse on a gerbil running on a wheel. You know, you're not really getting anywhere.
Yeah, and half the reason... I've seen so many activists and radio show hosts and YouTubers come in and then out of the what we kind of loosely term the truth movement, which nobody likes to be labeled with because nobody likes labels. But my label of it is people who are willing to seek the truth, whatever the truth might be, are willing to leave their frickin' ego at the door and come walking on in and be prepared for whatever comes at you, and be able to accept the truth but be able to discern fact from fiction. That's what a truth movement is to me. What the truth movement actually is, on the other hand, for a large proportion, are people who are told by their radio show host frequently to research, to back up their own facts, to not just listen to me, to do this, that, and the other. And they don't. They just keep continuing to listen to the radio show host lay out more and more different facts and information, and they haven't done any fact-checking at all. And before you know it, they're incredibly angry, incredibly stressed out, because they don't understand any of these things that they think they know. And they get angry, and they lash out at people, especially their family. I remember when I called my sister slave scum once, screamed it at her, because I was trying to tell her that the white bread that she was eating while she was pregnant had bleach in it. And she says, "Oh, Vinny, I was perfectly happy in my cushioned bubble of ignorance." And that got me really incensed, really inflamed, and I screamed at her and called her slave scum. Not the most productive of encounters I've ever had with one of my siblings. And you know what? I haven't even done the primary research on that. Somebody doesn't want to know about it? Fine. I've done my part. I've told you about it. If it's actually of consequence to you, you can't just question me and say, "Oh, what's your evidence for that?" And I say, "Well, have you got evidence to the contrary?" Huh? I mean, here's the thing, man. We're living in a society where hardly anybody knows anything anymore. Okay? You have a look at tests that were given to 5-7-year-olds back in the day. You give them to a PhD research type dude today, he will get 98% of those questions wrong. We've been dumbed down so significantly that the intelligence level of those today is minuscule. It's almost completely absent by comparison to the true, factual, grammatical, analytical knowledge that once existed and is no longer taught. There was a methodological practice for discerning, well, BS for a lack of a better term. It's called the trivium. You know those basic journalistic questions: the who, the what, the who, the when, the why, and the how. You know those very simple questions. You'll be surprised if you apply that to anything you currently believe. Just ask yourself, can you actually answer all those questions? Okay? Tell me something that you generally believe. You know? Oh, I believe that there's a conspiracy of scumbaggery to bring about a one-world government. Okay, well, here's the first question. What is it that you believe? Okay, well, we've got banking systems being set up in countries all across the world under umbrella titles that are registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission, who control and regulate the currency of the statuses of a nation. Okay, so you got the what down, and that's how they maintain control. Okay, so that's the what. Now the who. Who's actually behind it? Well, you have a number of distinct banking families, the Warburgs, J.P. Morgan, Rothschild, Rockefeller, DuPont, etc. Major industrial heads who own shares in these major banks, which in turn own shares in the banks that run your country, like the Federal Reserve Bank in America, the Bank of England in the UK, and the Reserve Bank of New Zealand right here in the South Pacific. Right. So that's the what. That's the who. When? When did all this happen? Well, in 1913, in the United States, during Christmas, when most of the senators and congressmen weren't at work in the House of Parliament. No. They were off, like many people do on Christmas, having a frickin' Christmas break. And there was a handful of representatives left who passed the Federal Reserve Act with the help of Woodrow Wilson, who later regretted that he'd unwittingly sold out the country. Okay, so that's the win as far as that's concerned. And in New Zealand, I believe it was in 1962, the New Zealand Reserve Bank Governance Act was brought in, and the state-owned bank, which had previously shelled out money in credit rather than in debit, so it gave money that existed and had backing into the economy and replaced it instead with a debt-based currency. So every time a dollar was printed, it was printed with X amount of debt, and they wouldn't print the debt, just the dollar that they're giving you. So in essence, mathematically, it becomes impossible to pay off the debt because the money doesn't exist to pay it off. It's not mathematically possible. Okay? And ergo, the country gets massively into debt. So that's the who, that's the what, that's the when. Why? Why would somebody do this? Well, for lack of a better term, it's a parlor trick. Magic. Snake oil salesman trick. I give you something that is absolutely worthless, tell you that it's worth a lot, and you give me something that is of real wealth in return. And when I leave town, I have all your money, all your wealth, and I've left you with worthless trinkets. It's the oldest trick in the book. Why do they want that? Because they want power. They want control. They want economic dominance and quote-unquote stability, meaning stability that they can determine of their own selfish interest. That's why. And then there comes the tricky part. How? How did all this come about? How did they implement such things without people noticing? And that's a tricky one. Distraction is a big part of it. How many times have you ever heard on the mainstream media questions about the Federal Reserve and its legitimacy and the fact that it's ended a 100-year reign, which was their mandate? How many times have you heard that they're bailing out mortgage-backed securities? How many times have you heard that it is privately owned? How many times have you heard that it is above the law? How many times have you heard that it currently controls the entirety of the currency of the United States, not for the people, but for private corporate interests who have a stake, a literal financial stake, in the company that produces the currency for a country? That kind of thing, that vast array of knowledge, in 100 years, even though it is the core source of all the impoverishment and all the corporate monopolization of the United States, and yet in 100 years, barely a mention. That's how they get away with it. That's how they continue to do it. By omission. They say, look over here, look over here, look over here. They deny with their mouths what they're doing with their hands. And many people have come out and exposed this type of thing. It's the reason why we're talking about it today. It's because somebody actually broke through in a very minor capacity. We are not by no means a majority, the truth movement, or people who understand about the full ramifications of having a private central banking cartel issuing your country's currency. We're not a majority, but you don't need a majority to overthrow them, I don't believe. So that simple exercise, asking those five simple questions, the who, what, why, when, and how, okay, or combination of the such, that's grammar. That allows you to find out whether or not you know, truly know, what the hell you're talking about. And you can apply this to other people as well. And if they can't answer that successive questions, which are simple questions, and if they know what they're talking about, it's not that difficult to answer because it's a truth, it's a fact. Facts don't need lies or extra stuff to be made up in order to support your claim. All you need is the fact in itself, incontrovertible in its nature. That's why facts and truth is so powerful. And that's why it's omitted so regularly.
Right, and it always comes down to the individual, you know. Do your own independent research, you know. Take bits and bits from alternative radio shows you listen to and, you know, look for the keywords and verify for yourself. You know, it's simple logic. If you can prove it, then most likely that's what it really is, you know.
See, proof. You ever asked, has anybody ever asked you after you've made a claim of some description, prove it? Dude, do I carry around a constitution in my pocket? No. And if I showed you my iPhone, which I don't have, I'd love one, though. A website that talks about the stuff that I'm talking about, would that constitute proof? No. See, if somebody's curious and they're willing to listen, you don't have to provide proof per se. You've simply got to tell them what you've seen, what you think, and if it is in fact of consequence to them. Merrily along, they will march right home to their computer and they'll watch about 160 documentaries and all of a sudden then realize what the hell you're talking about. Okay? It's part of my point that you can't wake people up. Right? You can't. People have to wake themselves up. You can plant a seed, sure, but you can't guarantee that that seed will sprout. But you plant them anyway. Throw them out all over the place. And often information can be damaging, so if you tell somebody that they don't want to hear that threatens their current worldview, you, the person who told them about this very, very threatening and scary thing, suddenly becomes the enemy, attacking the messenger. Oh, you're collapsing my reality in front of me. You bastard! You're trying to free me from mental bonds and anguishments and enslavement. I hate you! You've got to be freaking kidding me, man.
Right.
That's cognitive exactly. Dissonance, you know, just... And it happens to your family all the time, you know, it's just like an explosion. And that's why, you know, sometimes information should be treated like a hand grenade. You know? throw it in the room, but then walk out of the room. Okay? Because sometimes you don't want to sit around for the broader ramifications of what you've just said. Particularly if somebody's hostile, because they will explode at you. It's a... There's a part of your brain, the lower cortex around the underneath the knot in your skull kind of thing, the top of the spine. It's called the reptilian brain, and it's the thing that governs your fight or flight response. And here's how you know if you're in an argument and you're having a fight or flight response instead of an intellectualized response. Calm down. Take a breath. Count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, would you still say the exact same thing that you just did? Alright, somebody getting angry at you, somebody getting aggressive at you? The answer will be no. Fight or flight. You haven't got any neurons firing in those situations. It's simply perceiving a threat and then attacking back, as is your natural survival instinct to do. But is the interesting thing, people think that intellectual obligations and things of this nature are in fact dangerous. A friend of mine, Jonathan Eisen, who runs Uncensored Magazine, said a meeting full of communists. Yes, communists. And he asked a question of those things. They were being accused of being COINTELPRO or whatever, and some people allegedly owned this company that was going to reduce risk to business or something like that. It's an allegation. I haven't really seen any of the proof. But his one question was, is it true? Is it true that you own this company and you got all this? Wouldn't answer. And then later on, one of the other people comes up to him and taps him and goes, you're a dangerous man. You know, your ideas are dangerous. Wanting to know the truth is dangerous. Okay. And you know, actually, he was right. Telling the truth is dangerous. I've been suspended from high school 17 times.
Wow.
In 6 years. And I repeated a year. Because I wouldn't keep my mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't be controlled. So they punished me and 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 punished me. Still wouldn't behave. I didn't get punishment because I didn't understand why I was being punished. It's like a dog pisses on your carpet and then walks away, and then the next day after the weekend or something like that, you come back and see the dog piss on your carpet, and you go up and you smack the dog, and the dog's going, "Why are you hitting me?" He didn't even remember what the heck happened. He's busy living his life.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, speaking of schools, especially in public schools, the way they're teaching, you know, it's all obedience you know, your government's your friend and everything. It's so much disinformation. And, you know, you don't learn any independence that way. You don't learn to think for yourself.
Well, yeah. And that's the idea, is to produce obedient workers. That's all you want. People who will go into a cattle car if you tell them. If you're wearing a uniform, of course. I mean, you know what would be interesting? If we decided to go down to a railway track, you know, just like in the middle of town, dress up in SS officer uniforms, and then tell people that there's an emergency situation and we're evacuating and they need to get on the cattle cars now. I wonder how many people would actually obey us.
I'm pretty sure I'm betting the majority.
you've got a uniform on. Of course. I must rush instantly to my death.
We'll be safe that way.
I mean, hey, death is safe because you can't be killed after you're dead. It's kind of like that retroactive safety thing, you know, like putting bars on your windows after you get robbed.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And have you ever noticed whenever you mess up real bad or something like that, somebody comes and tells you, "Oh, you should have done this, you should have done that." That doesn't help me! Not on the Instagram anyway. Okay, and also, energy. I've always thought about this. However much energy you put into something, it's kind of exactly the energy that you get out. It's sort of like the first law of thermodynamics. So if I put 18 hours of energy a day into my work and everything like that, I'll produce 18 hours a day worth of work. However, the energy supplies within me will be depleted. Like, right now, I want to take a holiday. I want to get off for a couple of weeks at least, like 2 weeks, just to get my my brain schism straightened out, because I freaking hate the elections. I hate them. Oh, do I hate them? I hate the morons that rush out and wave flags. I hate the I hate the words that come out of the mouth of scumbags. I hate. And I'm not a very hateful person. I'm actually very loving and kind. But elections just bring this out of me. It's like a dark occulted mysticism ritual, where I am being implanted with this demonic election entity. And it stabs me through the heart and through the mind and through the body, like I'm on frickin' Hellraiser, being torn apart with a million different hooks on chains. That's what an election is like for me. Because I see the suffering of the people, I see the suffering of the veterans, I see the scumbaggery that's causing it, and I see these scumbags come out and even promote the scumbaggery that's causing all these problems, and I see all these morons come out to support them and kill themselves.
I agree.
And I got to take a holiday from that, man. You know, here I am talking about the election again, and I hate talking about the election, and I can't get rid of it! Ah! It's like, why don't we just end? Why don't we just have a dictatorship? At least it would actually frustrate me less to have an open dictatorship, because that way I wouldn't have to deal with the BS. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, it is crazy. I can relate. You know, I couldn't take people constantly talking about it, you know, between the two parties. There is no difference. And then you have like rarities like Russia Today, who did the I watched the
third party debate,
which was very good. Gary Johnson and Jill Stein, very good. It's brought a whole different approach than it being all about money and mainstream is just like it's just like watching a wrestling match, going at it, putting up a show. Hollywood.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think it's a wrestling match more as much as it is a broken record.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's the same. Are we allowed to swear on this?
Yeah, go right ahead.
It's the same shit, day in, day out, and the mind is like a toilet bowl. If you don't flush that shit out regularly, you're gonna get some description of blockage. And that's when the insanity creeps in. So I say, let out your emotions about all this and make fun of it. Be angry with it, but don't let it control your life. I mean, look, we're not the most moronic idiots that exist on the earth today, and we know what the political game is really about in a lot of ways, more than other people around us. But we don't know. Do you know who won the last American Idol, for instance?
I have no idea.
You know why you'd have no idea? Because you don't watch it, because it's not of consequence and it doesn't freaking matter. Mm-hmm. Okay? Imagine that all your friends who you thought were intelligent now only started talking about the next American Idol. How frustrating and irritating would that be? And I said on the radio that the outcome of the next American Idol will make more of a difference to United States government policy than the United States presidential election. Mark my words. And I knew I just kind of felt in my gut, and it seemed really logical to me that Obama would win, because he was sent there to destroy the United States. And the job ain't finished yet. Hence, he gets re-elected.
Insanity.
Well, same thing with my Prime Minister, John Key, bro. Former Federal Reserve banker. Worked on the board of the Federal Reserve in New York for 2 years as Merrill Lynch's representative in the European bond and derivatives trade. And he comes down to New Zealand. He's the head of the New Zealand Freemasons, the head of the New Zealand Zionist Society, and he gets elected Prime Minister without anybody knowing his name the year previously. And then winds up doing the exact same policies that Obama does. And he even also campaigns on a platform of change. And then, when it came to the election time, a friend of mine, who was doing these polls of his own and getting massive, massive, massive attacks on the Prime Minister, John Key, way, way, way more popular than anything the mainstream was putting out that was positive of him. And I say to him, look, John Key's going to win the election. And he goes, well, how can you say that? We've got all this other evidence that says that he's incredibly unpopular. And I say, yeah, but he's sent here to destroy the place, and it ain't destroyed yet. Hence, he's going to get re-elected. And sure enough, he does. So, you know, it's the same thing. You know, I'm in New Zealand. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever heard of a New Zealand talk radio show host at all, apart from me?
None at all. Although, thanks to you, I did hear about Critical Mass Radio, which is from the UK.
Yeah,
which is inspirational. interesting.
Well, and I've got this kind of thing on my back. So, New Zealand Herald, which is the New York Times of New Zealand, has a YouTube channel. A very, very popular one. And I have a YouTube channel, and I'm beating them. I've got more subscribers than they do. Substantially more. In fact, that is the biggest mainstream media YouTube channel in the country. And they're having their asses handed to them, their entire team, and their entire company, and their entire history of 20 years of media apparatus, by me! In less than 5 years. They're having their asses handed to them. Because, like it or not, people do like serious issues. People do like giving a frack about things. Mm-hmm. And nobody gives a frack about the mainstream media anymore. It's too watered down. It's too boring. I mean, despite the fact that conspiracy and the research of the like might be stressful, it's still a hell of a lot more interesting and entertaining than any amount of baseless rhetoric shit that comes out of the mouths of prime ministers and presidentes, isn't it?
Right, because, you know, the truth is always leading to different things, different things to explore, new openings, different subjects. It's just a lot more enlightening and positive at times, because, you know, there's always a solution to a problem. It's just that, you know, we need to make ourselves become aware of it and take action to do so.
Well, speaking
as
of...
as small part as we can.
Yeah. And some of us are made to perform a very big role. However, I believe that if you get too full of yourself, you get too far ahead of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I ask that my listeners be very, very watchful of me, be very, very suspicious of me, analyze my voice, analyze my actions, everything, as if I'm some enemy, okay? Because, God forbid, if I ever turn into some form of douchebag, I would hope that my friends, who are the premier scumbaggery exposers of this country and many others, would expose me and remove me for the criminal fraud that I had become. That's what I want to see, is a self-regulating media where the journalists are in fact the ones who can fire the editor rather than the other way round. I treat my show as a platform for others to get their points across, and I don't question my guests or try to call them on things or have aggressive or ambush interviews. If they arrive onto the show with a cocktail in their hand and a big beaming smile on their face, they will be in the correct mindset and mood for the Vinnie Eastwood show. I'm here to party with you, practically. Let's have a few laughs and let's talk about some real, real things that actually matter, that you think maybe people should hear. You get on people like that have PhDs, doctorates, former FBI, former CIA, NSA, super soldiers, and journalists, and authors, and politicians, and people from all walks of life, varying degrees of fame. I mean, biggest person I've ever had on is George Norrie, who has 29 million listeners a night on Coast to Coast. You can check that out on the featured interviews page of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and it reads like a who's who of the truth movement when you have a look at that page. And that's because the listeners like what I do, they like the guests that they suggest for me. And the reason why they're suggesting to me is they know, they absolutely know, that I'm going to get that guest to laugh. Okay, it doesn't matter how grumpy they are and how much they hate the New World Order and want to expose it or whatever. Such is my talent for wordplay and silliness while still remaining very intellectual, can make the most frigid-lipped, cacophony of depression and conspiracy research at least have a little bit of a cackle.
Right, it's a smart comedy, you know. It's a lot of what these days like movies lack when they try to do comedy. They approach it in the wrong way, with stupidity and things that just aren't connecting with the jokes that they make. That's why I like listening to you a lot, because you make it very intellectual and also funny at the same time.
Well, I notice if you really think about anything, it becomes really hilarious, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, think about your day. You get up and you're like, oh, man, it's nice, you know. Da, 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 da. And you're like, oh, it's a beautiful day. There's only one... Oh, fuck, there's a chemtrail. And then you...
There goes reality.
And you kind of think, oh, no. Oh, well. I guess I'll just have a shave with mass-produced razors that keep breaking down that I'll eventually have to replace. And I'll do it with some shaving cream that's got some chemicals in it that'll make my skin hard and crusty and give me psoriasis. And I'll use water that's got chlorine chemicals and heavy metals and fluoride in it as I splash my face. And I'll make sure that the water's warm as well, so that the steam rising will cause a very slight, gentle chlorine gas effect. And after I finish shaving, I'll put on some alcohol-based chemical aftershave and just slap that on there. That's really nice. And then I'll crop duster myself with a can of spray deodorant or something that you can kill cockroaches with. And then I'm going to cruise into the kitchen and make myself a piece of toast that's got bleached white bread in it. And I think I might also have a little bit of a fake margarine that doesn't decompose at all and manifests as cancer in the bowel. And what else am I going to have on that? I think I might have some peanut butter, some goober grape. Yeah, that'll be good, man. Some artificial sweetener in there, some MSG. Beautiful, sweet ass, mate. Crunch that down. And while you're crunching, you're feeling the really nice, sweet, soothing sensations of an overload of sugar and fat and greasiness that tastes so good, and then dehydrates your body incredibly as it processes it. And then you start to get a little bit feeling a bit dumber because you're starting to get a bit dehydrated. About maybe 10 to 20% of your cognitive function goes away. So in order to stave off your dehydration, you drink dehydrating coffee. That isn't decaffeinated, that has caffeine, that basically you're completely addicted to, and you really have to have your coffee at first in the morning anyway in order to get to do anything. And so you stir it up with some milk that doesn't have any enzymes or anything out of it, because the hormones have all been burnt out through the homogenization process. And you put two teaspoons of white sugar that can burn a hole through a tooth and animal like nobody's business. And you're also making it out of some kind of a thermos cup that's got a stainless steel metal inside with the particulates that'll get into your digestive system. So you knock that back, and then you think to yourself, man, I've got to get to work. So you get dressed, you put on your nylon polyester skin contact cancer causing socks over your Indian sweatshop produced business shoes and your overpriced $2,000 suit, which is also incidentally made out of nice beautiful cotton that they got out of Egypt. Where the growers are all having real hard times right now because the international clothing cartels are forcing down the prices artificially, and they're losing their land, and some of them are committing suicide and whatnot. And then you get into your car, which is manufactured by some megadeth overseas car corporation in some slave labor manufacturing camp in China, whereas it used to be made in America. And then you turn on the key, and you get these nice, beautiful sounds coming out of the radio from some local talk radio show host who says, "Oh well, there's been a shooting, and there's another war about to be staged, and there's a new vaccine out that's going to be really they're good for you, and we're not going to have to convince you, because we're going to force inoculate you. We're going to go on Facebook and we're going to talk to your children, and we're going to make sure that they get convinced to come and have a vaccine of their own accord without telling your parents. And you're driving down the road and you pull in for your gas, and the gas station's like 10 cents up a liter, or 20 cents up a gallon, or whatever, and you start to think to yourself, man, this life really sucks. And all you've done is woken up and gone to work. You haven't even gotten to work. You haven't even gotten home. What the frick is going on here? I could go on forever about how fucked everything is. But people don't see it. Now, is that not freaking hilarious?
It is. It really is. And it's like they have earplugs on and some kind of blindfold that they can only see what they're told to see while doing all this stuff, absolutely clueless of what's really going on with their bodies in their everyday lives.
I think that's the agenda. If you don't know nothing about your body, who are you going to trust?
Your doctor.
Who does your doctor work for?
Monsanto.
So, you trust the people who ought not to be trusted, who have been trusted before and lied and didn't get away with it. In fact, had to admit that they were untrustworthy and lying, scumbaggery, cancer-causing, deformed pieces of nihilistic, satanic trash. But you still go back and trust him. God, maybe he's changed. You know? It reminds me of what Bill Hicks said about Charles Manson. Is up in trial at court, and the courtroom is filled with women trying to meet him, and with marriage proposals and wanting to date him. And he goes, well, he killed 100 people. Oh, he's reformed. I can change him. I could change him. You know, he's just a poor, tortured soul. That MK Ultra must be really bad for him. I will nurture that man. Do you have any idea how many women are now getting into relationships with men who are already in prison? All right, it's like a new dating phenomenon. And I find that really funny, because when she dates a man on the outside, she's still in a prison. She just doesn't realize she's a frickin' prisoner herself. It's unbelievable. What are you trying to do? You know, get some kind of soap opera enjoyment from your life by helping out somebody who obviously can't help themselves? Where are we heading, man? You know? It's all nuts. And if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go nuts too. Just because the world's crazy doesn't mean you have to be.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You need something to keep you from losing it.
Keep you balanced. And for me, a large part, that role is filled with weed. You know? That was how I really got into all of this stuff in the first place. Smoking weed for the very first time with my mate, and he's introducing me to like this documentary by Mike Rupert about the truth and lies of 9/11, then getting into cannabis activism, and then realizing all these other conspiracies were true as well when I was high, sitting back, watching all these documentaries, absorbing all this information and stuff like that. And I still use cannabis regularly because, man, it's just, even if you're having a really good time, it's still physically exhausting. It's still mentally exhausting doing anything like this type of line of work. And I'm doing 10 times more than most people. I can do the job of 10 people by myself because I've developed systemic methodologies. For example, I'm recording this on my other computer on the live stream on the internet, as well as recording our conversation with the webcam right here, right now. And right after the show finishes, I download that video file into the video editor and start processing the video and then upload it. I get the audio recording from the other computer just on a flash drive from one room to the other, pop it into this, do three audio archives of it, a short version, a commercial free version, and the full version of it, so that people have a number of different ways that they can absorb the content. And the same thing goes for the videos as well. Short version, an ad-free version, and a long version. You give people the opportunity. If you subscribe to me for $5 a month, I'll give you access to the ad-free archives. And if you don't want to pay $5 a month for the ad-free archives, just ask me for the frickin' link and I'll send it to you. You know? Who frickin' cares? I'm just trying to do what I can do. Every dollar that's ever been donated to me, I've put to frickin' good use. And I've accomplished more than anybody else in New Zealand history in terms of the media by myself. Okay, I can confidently say that. Right? How many people do you know who can stand up and say, I have done more in media by myself than any other person in my entire country that you could point to?
None that comes to mind.
Okay, and it's not like I'm getting full of myself. That's just the facts. And I could apply the trivium, the who, what, when, where, and why, and how, and I could lay out for hours and hours. Like, what I want to do one day, bro, is actually kind of record my story, because frack me, it has been one hell of a ride.
Mm-hmm.
In just 5 years, from where I was, depressed, unhappy, employed, which is probably the reason why I was depressed and unhappy. Yeah. To being, some people have called me like a superstar, a rock star, a phenomenon, an icon, etc. And, you know, dude, I can talk. It's my natural talent. So I can, you know how hard all this is for me? It ain't really that hard. It's just like any other job that you got in your life. You come home from work and you stop working. You approach the weekend and you stop working. You start relaxing, you start enjoying yourself, because if you're spending all your time working, even if your work's enjoyable, mm-hmm. you don't really have a life. And that's my biggest advice to people, you know, just try and have a freaking life.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, if you have a good circle of friends, volunteer work, a career, and a stable relationship simultaneously, it doesn't matter if your relationship fails, because you've still got your career and your friends and your volunteer work. It doesn't matter if you get kicked out of your volunteer group or 9/11 Truth or whatever, because you've still got your missus, your mates, and your job. It doesn't matter if you lose your job, because you've still got your missus to support you, your mates to support you, and you've also got volunteer work to do your time. It's like this quadrivium, essentially, of support that people can manufacture for themselves. And my job is, or at least one of my main goals in terms of friendship and collaboration with people, is to be kind of like a millionaire, right? Except in a different way. A millionaire will have $1 million in the bank, but I'll have 2 or 3 mates, really, really, really good close friends, who do anything for it. And get a lot done with those 3 mates. I would rather have 2 or 3 bucks in the bank and 1 million good mates that would do anything for me, and I'd do anything for them. And I can tell you, man, 1 million people is a hell of a lot more powerful than $1 million. It's a lot more meaningful and a lot more real too. A lot more valuable. And you can't just make up people. They come from somewhere, they got their backstories. You got to appreciate and care about all those around you. Because if you start thinking that I'm the best and blah, 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 I don't actually really like at all touting figures and this, that, and the other. Oh, I'm increasing in listeners. I'm very, very popular. I hate people like that.
Yeah, that, like, for instance, Alex Jones. He's, like, completely full of himself.
Yeah.
Undeniably.
Yeah, well, I mean, say what you want about Alex Jones. He was one of my prime resources and prime inspirations to get up and do this. So you can say what you want about him, but you can't deny the good he has done.
Yeah, that's true. He was a starting point for me too, definitely.
See, and I like to think of my show as an evolved supplement to the Alex Jones show. So in the morning you tune in to 4 hours of hard-hitting, passionate information, and you get really stressed, okay, because that's how horrific the truth really is. Then after the show finishes, my show starts, and you smile and you laugh and you relax, and all that stress that you had gotten onto yourself with the information in the first place now disappears. It's like drinking hard liquor in the morning and slowing it down, having a few aspirin and drinking some water and maybe a few more beers as well afterwards, you know. So you come down gradually, and you kind of need to do this on a daily basis. Like, it's like therapy, really, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, it helps you get in touch with your emotions that way. You know, you learn to transition one into the other and, you know, be able to control it.
Yeah, well, two most important pieces of information I've ever been given. Don't take yourself too seriously. Mm-hmm. And don't take other people personally. When you're doing this, when you're talking about really controversial things, you will be attacked in more ways than you could ever conceive possible. Don't take it personally, and don't take yourself too seriously. I mean, that's basically the end of the day. The key to balance is about swinging to either extreme and still being able to come back to the center again. So you can yell, you can scream, go for it. But just remember that you can laugh so hard that you cry as well. You know, don't forget that you need a wide spectra of emotions and practices in your life. I mean, I know people who have hung out with Alex Jones. Not all of them have good things to say, but in general, they all agree that while they were friends with him, they had a hell of a fun time. There's always joking around, laughing, because you can't get on the radio 4 hours a day and do all this other stuff and go on millions of other radio shows or whatever and maintain your head without a good sense of humor. And that's how Hollywood works as well. You see any of the blooper reels that you see, even in really serious movies, that people are just, they mess up a line right in the middle of something incredibly serious, and they all just crack up laughing, and it goes on for minutes. Like, they're laughing that hard, kind of thing. That's how we should do it here, man, as well. I think there's a lot of practices that we can adopt from the New World Order, and a lot we can leave behind. A lot more than we can leave behind, in fact.
It makes sense. So, we're about out of time. Real quick, I want to thank you so much, Vinny, for coming on. You were, you know, amazing. Just as I've been listening to you for like over, it's been maybe like 6 months since I've listened to you, and I've broadcasted your show on Stickam, and that was before I was getting started with my own show, and you know, all these other people who have helped supported me and helped me to get me to where I am now, and me becoming more independent. You know, I just want to thank you for, you know, being that inspiration, making me laugh. And
well, you know, you're welcome. I know I'm pretty freaking amazing. You see, another thing, I ain't bashful or falsely modest. Trust me, I know how smart I am, I know how brilliant I am, and I know what a good dude I am too. So when people thank me or they say keep up the good work, it's just like me repeating to myself, Vinny, you're freaking awesome, bro, and you're such a good dude. What an awesome guy, eh? You know, just,
And again, I don't take myself too seriously, even though I have a high opinion of myself, you know? And that way, I'm free to be confident around anybody and have fun constantly with people who inspire me, people who encourage me, and people who actually really care about me. When you care about yourself, you only want to be around people generally with a similar opinion who also care about you. And that's actually really important. It's not narcissistic. It's actually survival, because we're small, societal little critters, us humans, and we're so much better together. So thanks, man.
I agree. Definitely. So, once again, thank you.
Oh, whoa, hold on. Plugging! I think radio shows are much like a bathtub. Pretty freaking useless without a plug.
Right. So you can visit Vinny's website at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, or you can go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com. You can visit my site, which is still under construction because I need my hacker friend Luke, who I'm still trying to get in touch with, at anti-nwoanm.co.cc. And my Ustream is ustream.tv/channel/ SLBTC, which is an abbreviation for Silver Lining Beyond the Cloud. And everyone, stay safe, keep up the good work, keep searching for answers, and remember there's always a silver lining within every dark cloud that comes around. Thank you.
Unless it's a harp cloud. Thanks, bro. In which case, there's a brilliant white frickin' rainbow lining. Oh, shit. All right. Oh, no, he did it. Oh, no, he did it.
That was great. Wow. I was a lot less nervous than I thought it would be.